Chapter 5. Does not seem equal. For if the cross stones weighed 6 or 7 tons, the others, as they appear now, were at least 5 or 6 times as big, and must weigh in proportion. And therefore I must think their judgment much nearer the case who judge the upright stones at 16 tons, or thereabouts, supposing them to stand a great way into the earth, as it is not doubted but they do, and the coronets or cross stones at about 2 tons, which is very large too, and as much as their bulk can be thought to allow. Upon the whole, we must take them as our ancestors have done, namely, for an erection or building so ancient, that no history has handed down to us the original. As we find it, then, uncertain, we must leave it so. It is indeed a reverend piece of antiquity, and it is a great loss, that the true history of it is not known. But since it is not, I think the making, so many conjectures at the reality, when they know lots can, but guess at it, and, above all, the insisting so long, and warmly on their private opinions, is but amusing themselves and us with a doubt, which perhaps lies the deeper for their search into it. The downs and plains in this part of England being so open, and the surface, so little subject to alteration, there are more remains of antiquity to be seen upon them than in other places. For example, I think they tell us there are 350 ancient encampments or fortifications to be seen in this one county somewhere of our exceeding plain to be seen, some of one form, some of another, some of one nation, some of another British, Danish, Saxon, Roman as at Ebdown, Berrywood, Oldburg Hill, Comerford, Roundway Down, St. Anne's Hill, Bratton Castle, Clay Hill, Stornton Park, Whitecoal Hill, Battlebury, Scrathbury, Tainsbury, Fripsbury, Southbury Hill, Amesbury, Great Bodwin, Easterly, Merton, Aubrey, Martensil Hill, Barbary Castle, and many more. Also the barrows, as we all agree to call them, are very many in number in this county, and very obvious, having suffered very little decay. These are large hillocks of earth cast up, as the ancients agree, by the soldiers over the bodies of their dead comrades slain in battle. Several hundreds of these are to be seen, especially in the north part of this county, about Marlborough and the Downs, from thence to St. Anne's Hill, and even every way the Downs are full of them. I have done with matters of antiquity for this county, unless you will admit me to mention the famous Parliament in the reign of Henry II, held at Clarendon, where I am now writing, and another intended to be held there in Richard II's time, but prevented by the barons, being then up in arms against the king. Near this place, at Farlow, was the birthplace of the late Sir Stephen Fox, and where the town, sharing in his good fortune, shows several marks of his bounty, as particularly the building a new church from the foundation, and getting an act of Parliament passed for making it parochial, it being but a chapel of ease before to an adjoining parish. Also Sir Stephen built, and endowed an almshouse here for 6 poor women, with a master and a free school. The master is to be a clergyman, and to officiate in the church, that is to say, is to have the living, which, including the school, is very sufficient. I am now to pursue my first design, and shall take the west part of Wiltshire in my return, where are several things still, to be taken notice of, and some very well worth our stay. In the meantime I went on to Langborough, a fine seat of my Lord Coleraine, which is very well kept, though the family, it seems, is not much in this country, having another estate and dwelling at Tottenham High Cross, near London. From hence in my way to the seaside I came to New Forest, of which I have said something already with relation to the great extent of ground which lies waste, and in which there is so great a quantity of large timber, as I have spoken of already. This waste and wild part of the country was, as some record, laid open and waste for a forest, and for game by that violent tyrant William the Conqueror, and for which purpose he unpeopled the country, pulled down the houses, and, which was worse, the churches of several parishes or towns, and of abundance of villages, turning the poor people out of their habitations and possessions, and laying all open for his deer. The same histories likewise record that two of his own blood and posterity, and particularly his immediate successor William Rufus, lost their lives in this forest one, viz. The said William Rufus, being shot with an arrow directed at a deer which the king and his company were hunting, and the arrow, glancing on a tree, changed his course, and struck the king full on the breast and killed him. This they relate as a just judgment of God on the cruel devastation made here by the conqueror. Be it so or not, as heaven pleases, but that the king was so killed is certain, and they show the tree on which the arrow glanced to this day. And King Charles II's time it was ordered to be surrounded with a pale, but as great part of the paling is down with age, whether the tree be really so old, or not is to me a great question, the action being near 700 years ago. I cannot omit to mention here a proposal made a few years ago to the late Lord Treasurer Godolphin for repeopling this forest, which for some reasons I can be more particular in than any man now left alive, because I had the honor to draw up the scheme, and argue it before that noble lord, and some others who were principally concerned at that time in bringing over, or, rather, providing for when they were come over the poor inhabitants of the Palatinate, a thing in itself commendable, but, as it was managed, made scandalous to England and miserable to those poor people. Some persons being ordered by that noble lord above mentioned to consider of measures, how the said poor people should be provided for, and whether they could be provided for, or no without injury to the public, the answer was grounded upon this maxim, that the number of inhabitants is the wealth and strength of a kingdom, provided those inhabitants were such as by honest industry, applied themselves to live by their labor, to whatsoever trades or employments they were brought up. In the next place, it was inquired what employments those poor people were brought up to. It was answered there were husbandmen and artificers of all sorts, upon which the proposal was as follows. New Forest, in Hampshire, was singled out to be the place. Here it was proposed to draw a great square line containing 4,000 acres of land, marking out two large highways or roads through the center, crossing both ways, so that there should be 1,000 acres in each division, exclusive of the land contained in the said crossroads. Then it was proposed to send out 20 men and their families, who should be recommended as honest industrious men, expert in, or at least capable of being instructed in husbandry, curing and cultivating of land, breeding and feeding cattle, and the like. To each of these should be parceled out, in equal distributions, 200 acres of this land, so that the whole 4,000 acres should be fully distributed to the said 20 families, for which they should have no rent to pay, and be liable to no taxes, but such as provided for their own sick or poor, repairing their own roads, and the like. This exemption from rent and taxes to continue for 20 years, and then to pay each £50 a year to the Queen, that is to say, to the Crown. To each of these families, whom I would now call farmers, it was proposed to advance £200 in ready money as a stock, to set them to work, to furnish them with cattle, horses, cows, hogs, and and to hire, and pay laborers to enclose, clear, and cure the land, which it would be supposed the first year would not be so much to their advantage as afterwards, allowing them timber out of the forest, to build themselves houses and barns, sheds and offices, as they should have occasion, also for carts, wagons, plows, harrows, and the like necessary things. Care to be taken, that the men and their families went to work forthwith according to the design. Thus 20 families would be immediately supplied and provided for there would be no doubt but these families, with so much land given them gratis, and so much money to work with, would live very well, but what would this do for the support of the rest, who were supposed to be, to every 20 farmers, 40 or 50 families of other people, some of one trade, some of another, with women and children? To this it was answered, that these 20 farmers would, by the consequence of their own settlements, provide for and employ such a proportion of others of their own people that, by thus providing for 20 families in a place, the whole number of Palatinates would have been provided for, had they been 20,000 more in number than they were, and that without being any burden upon, or injury to the people of England. On the contrary, they would have been an advantage, and an addition of wealth and strength to the nation, and to the country in particular, where they should be thus seated. For example, as soon as the land was marked out, the farmers put in possession of it, and the money given them, they should be obliged to go to work, in order to their settlement. Suppose it, then, to be in the spring of the year, when such work was most proper. First, all hands would be required to fence and part off the land, and clear it of the timber or bushes, or whatever else was upon it which required to be removed. The first thing, therefore, which the farmer would do, would be to single out from the rest of their number every one three servants, that is to say, two men and a maid. Less could not answer the preparations they would be obliged to make, and yet work hard themselves also. By the help of these they would, with good management, soon get so much of their land cured, fenced off, plowed, and sowed as should yield them a sufficiency of corn and kitchen stuff the very first year, both for horse meat, hog meat, food for the family, and some to carry to market to, by which to bring in money to go farther on, as above. At the first entrance they were to have the tents allowed them to live in, which they then had from the tower, but as soon as leisure and conveniences admitted, every farmer was obliged to begin to build him a farmhouse, which he would do gradually, some and some, as he could spare time from his other works, and money from his little stock, in order to furnish himself with carts, wagons, plows, harrows, wheelbarrows, hurdles, and all such necessary utensils of husbandry. There would be an absolute necessity of wheelwrights or cartwrights, one at least to each division. Thus, by the way, there would be employed three servants to each farmer, that makes 60 persons. Four families of wheelwrights, one to each division, which, suppose five in a family, makes 20 persons. Suppose four head carpenters, with each three men, and as at first all would be building together, they would to every house building have at least one laborer. Four families of carpenters, five to each family, and three servants, is 32 persons, one laborer to each house building is 20 persons more. Thus here would be necessarily brought together in the very first of the work 132 persons, besides the head farmers, who at five also to each family, are 100 more, in all, 232. For the necessary supply of these with provisions, clothes, household stuff, and seed for all should be done among themselves. First, they must have at least four butchers with their families, 20 persons, four shoemakers with their families, and each shoemaker two journeymen, for every trade would increase the number of customers to every trade. This is 28 persons more. They would then require a hat maker, a glover, at least two rope makers, four tailors, three weavers of woolen and three weavers of linen, two basket makers, two common brewers, 10 or 12 shopkeepers to furnish chandlery and grocery wares, and as many for drapery and mercery, over and above what they could work. This makes 240 families more, each at five in a family, which is 210 persons. All the laboring part of these must have at least two servants, the brewers more, which I cast up at 40 more. Add to these two ministers, one clerk, one sexton or grave digger, with their families, two physicians, three apothecaries, two surgeons, less there could not be, only that for the beginning it might be said the physicians should be surgeons, and I take them so. This is 45 persons, besides servants. So that, in short, to omit many tradesmen more who would be wanted among them, there would necessarily and voluntarily follow to these 20 families of farmers at least 600 more of their own people. It is no difficult thing to show that the ready money of £4,000 which the government was to advance to those 20 farmers would employ and pay, and consequently subsist, all these numerous dependents in the works which must severally be done for them for the first year, after which the farmers would begin to receive their own money back again. For all these tradesmen must come to their own market to buy corn, flesh, milk, butter, cheese, bacon, and see which after the first year the farmers, having no rent to pay, would have to spare sufficiently, and so take back their own money with advantage. I need not go on to mention how, by consequence provisions increasing and money circulating, this town should increase in a very little time. It was proposed also that for the encouragement of all the handicraftsmen and laboring poor who, either as servants, or as laborers for day work, assisted the farmers or other tradesmen, they should have every man 3 acres of ground given them, with leave to build cottages upon the same, the allotments to be upon the waste at the end of the crossroads, where they entered the town. In the center of the square, was laid out a circle of 12 acres of ground, to be cast in 2 streets for inhabitants to build on as their ability would permit all that would build to have ground gratis for 20 years, timber out of the forest, and convenient yards, gardens, and orchards allotted to every house. In the great streets near where they cross each other was to be built a handsome market house, with a town hall for parish or corporation business, doing justice and the like, also shambles, and in a handsome part of the ground, mentioned to be laid out for streets, as near the center as might be, was to be ground laid out for the building a church, which every man should either contribute to the building of in money, or give every 10th day of his time, to assist in laboring at the building. I have omitted many tradesmen who would be wanted here, and would find a good livelihood among their country folks, only to get accidental work as day men, or laborers, of which such a town would constantly employ many, as also poor women for assistance in families such as midwives, nurses, and c. Adjacent to the town, was to be a certain quantity of common land for the benefit of the cottages, that the poor might have a few sheep or cows, as their circumstances required, and this to be appointed at the several ends of the town. There was a calculation made of what increase there would be, both of wealth and people, in 20 years in this town. What a vast consumption of provisions they would cause, more than the 4,000 acres of land given them would produce, by which consumption and increase, so much advantage would accrue to the public stock, and so many subjects be added to the many thousands of Great Britain, who in the next age would be all true-born Englishmen, and forget both the language and nation from whence they came. And it was in order to this that 2 ministers were appointed, one of which should officiate in English, and the other in High Dutch, and withal 2 of them obliged by a law, to teach all their children both to speak, read, and write the English language. Upon their increase they would also want barbers and glaziers, painters also, and plumbers, a windmiller too, and the millers and their families, a fulling mill, and a cloth worker, as also a master clothier or 2 for making a manufacture among them for their own wear, and for employing the women and children, a dyer or 2 for Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.